Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 106, the 1-2 punch of tart cherry juice and Epsom salt baths. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for very long, you know I don't go gaga over the latest trends, and I'm careful not to promote something that I feel might be unproven or in any way dangerous. I'm all about being sensible and always erring on the side of caution. So you may be surprised that today I'm going to tell you about two new things I added to my regimen during the month before my recent marathon. But I feel really good about the results of that experiment, and I can't wait to share with you because I've never experienced a better post-marathon recovery than I did after Grandma's. Just one brief public service announcement first before we get to that. Please share this podcast any way you can. I love it when you share the link to this podcast on your Facebook wall or on Twitter or with the staff at your local running store or with your club or in your running club newsletter or anywhere in social media or by word of mouth. Let's keep growing this community. This podcast is supported financially by your donations via the website and by membership in the online program. If you're not in a position to donate and are not looking to join the online program, you can still help out by just spreading the word. And if you know anyone who wants to run but thinks it's out of their reach, please send them over to my Beginner Runner Village podcast. That's for people who are not runners yet. It's half motivation and half running secrets, the secrets that will make becoming a runner doable for virtually anyone. My philosophy, in case you think you might know someone who'd be interested, is that anyone can run if they start at the appropriate intensity level. And by that, I mean quantity and frequency, the appropriate level for them. I have a walk to run beginner program that's just perfect for someone who tried one of the couch to 5K type programs and found that either they started off with too much running at once, or maybe they found that they needed somebody who could answer their questions. If you know someone who might be interested, please have them listen to that podcast and check out the Beginner Runner Village website. I have 95 people in that online beginner training program, and they're all doing very well. We have a private Facebook group where there's a great sense of community, even though they hail from all over the United States and a few other countries as well. Now to those two new recovery hacks. First, let's talk about tart cherry juice. And I remind you, it must be tart cherry juice, not just any cherry juice. It was brought to my attention by my brother Milt. Let me introduce you. Growing up, Milt was my best friend. Of us four kids, we were the two who were always into sports of all kinds and always outside. Later, he became one of the first triathletes in the state of Florida, doing Ironman Hawaii 9 times in the 80s. Milt has a master's degree in exercise physiology and works as a diabetes educator. Anyway, a few weeks ago, when Milt was in Boston for the American College of Sports Medicine Conference, he called me mid-morning during a break between sessions to tell me about tart cherry juice. He had just attended a session about the benefits, and the report was so compelling that he thought I should try it right away, especially since at that time he knew I was about 10 days out from my marathon. He said to drink 2 8-ounce cups the first day, one in the morning and one in the evening, and then 1 8-ounce glass every day after that. Now, like me, Milt is not one to run out and try the latest fad, and the ACSM is a highly respected organization. So when he thinks something is really worth trying, I'm going to pay attention. He's been an advisor to me my whole life, and he's never steered me wrong. When we had more time to talk, he explained that tart cherry juice has been proven to facilitate recovery and improve performance due to its natural anti-inflammatory properties. They have been proven to reduce damage to muscles during exercise. He sent me a link to an article by the National Library of Medicine National Institutes of Health titled "Influence of Tart Cherry Juice on Indices of Recovery Following Marathon Training." I'll link to it in the show notes, But here is one sentence from the article. Quote, the cherry juice appears to provide a viable means to aid recovery following strenuous exercise by increasing total antioxidative capacity, reducing inflammation, lipid peroxidation, and so aiding in the recovery of muscle function. Close quotes. Clearly, the focus is on recovery more than performance, but if there is less muscle damage during exercise, and if it's possible to recover faster and thereby return to training sooner, it can be considered to be good for performance in that respect. I first bought a bag of tart cherries with the idea that I'd just add them to my daily smoothie, but Milt said the suggested amount was the juice equivalent of 50 cherries. I knew I wouldn't be able to consume that many, so I went back out and bought the juice. Note here, again, be sure you get tart cherry juice if you decide to try this. I'll warn you, it's very expensive at about $7 a bottle, and more if you buy the concentrated version. It probably works out about the same, though. If you buy the concentrated version and then reconstitute it, the instructions say to add 2 tablespoons to 8 ounces of water. I bought the first bottles at Whole Foods and health food stores, but later I realized they had it at Publix, my usual grocery store. A warning though, make sure to get pure tart cherry juice or tart cherry juice. That's hard to say. Concentrate. Read the labels because you don't want to get something that's diluted with other juices. Some of the bottles at Publix said tart cherry juice blend. The ingredients listed included apple juice and grape juice. I don't think I would take a chance on those because I just don't think they have enough tart cherry juice in them. And if you're going to do it, I say do it right. Make sure you know what you're getting. Also, do keep in mind that 8 ounces has about 140 calories. So, here's a question. Did it work? I'll say, seriously. I felt great the day after my marathon, and the day after that, and the day after that. I never experienced any of the usual muscle soreness. The difference after this marathon and between this marathon and all the others I've done, in a word, is remarkable. A warning though, be careful, as with any food, to make sure it doesn't cause any digestive issues. In other words, it may make you have to run to the bathroom. If I drink just 1 glass a day, I'm fine. But to be on the safe side, I only had a half glass on race morning. And I had that a full 3 hours before the race, just to be sure. Of course, I know you know never to try anything new on race morning. I had been on it for more than a week, so I knew how it would affect me. Now, you may ask whether it helped my performance during the race. Well, that kind of thing is really hard to know, hard to figure out, because you can't try it. You can't experiment with doing it and not doing it and keep all the variables the same, because you'd have to do exactly the same race on the same race course when your body is exactly the same physiological condition, when the weather's exactly the same, when you had exactly the same amount of sleep. There's no way to replicate it. There's no way to test it. Now, next time I'll do exactly the same thing, and over time I'll have a better idea. But seriously, it's virtually impossible for me to know if it helped my performance that day. I had a pretty good marathon considering the conditions, but it wasn't anywhere near my best. I missed my goal time by 22 minutes, but I later read that the average race time of all runners in that race was a full 30 minutes slower than last year, and we can surmise that that was due to the very hot conditions. So maybe my time was better than it seemed. Over time, I'll be able to analyze the effect of the cherry juice on my performance more accurately, because the more races I do, the better I can, if I keep having this wonderful recovery, and if over time it seems like I'm performing better, then I'll be in a position to draw that conclusion. One race isn't going to tell me anything as far as that goes, except about recovery. And I say it does tell me about recovery because the difference between how I felt after this marathon and how I felt after every other marathon was so astounding. As for me, I'm convinced, and I'm still drinking it every day. I've just started my mom on it too, because she's 88 and has extremely advanced arthritis and inflammatory disease. If it helps her, that would be outstanding. And I'm all about finding ways to ease her pain without adding another prescription pill to her medication list. Now to the next item. I also started taking Epsom salt baths the day before a long run or race and after my long runs or races. And by long run, I mean, say, around 12 miles. I read several articles recommending this, and when my doctor recommended it too, that cinched it. What she said, though, is that most people don't use enough. Now, I'll warn you that there are also articles online saying that there's no proof that this helps. So there's conflicting information. As I'm sure you know, though, it's been a well-known remedy around for many, many years. And I think we're discovering more and more that some of those old-fashioned remedies really do work. I think it probably does, but my evaluation of the benefits of this two-item regimen change is, of course, flawed, I realize. It's in no way a scientific evaluation, because since I changed it up with two variables, I can't properly evaluate either one. I can only guess, but honestly, I don't think either can possibly be a bad idea. I did some reading about Epsom salt soaks, of course, before I added it to my regimen. It's really just magnesium sulfate. We all know the body needs magnesium. It plays a vital role in our endurance running pursuits because it's essential to energy metabolism. Found in our muscles and bones, it helps us produce energy by facilitating production of ATP. Low levels of magnesium may hinder performance and reduce aerobic capacity, two things I'd certainly like to avoid. Recent studies suggest that many endurance athletes may not be getting sufficient magnesium, and they're thinking that we may need more than has been thought in the past. Trouble is, they haven't determined for sure how much we need, and it would be a bad idea to overdo it because of its laxative effect. More on that in a minute. Most of the articles I read, and I'll link to them in the show notes, suggest about 400 milligrams per day of magnesium. Magnesium serves many purposes in the body. Of course, it is best to get your magnesium from magnesium-rich foods, such as spinach and other dark leafy greens, nuts, and seeds, rather than from supplements. But I do take a magnesium tablet every day. Epsom salts may be a good addition if you find you're not getting enough magnesium. Since the magnesium is absorbed through the skin and never gets into your intestinal tract, it may prevent the laxative effect, which can be a big problem for runners. There are several good articles online about the benefits of for runners, but I'll warn you that there are also several that refute any benefit. I'm throwing this out there. It's my opinion. It's a good idea, but I'm not a medical professional nor a nutritionist. That is my opinion based on what I've read, plus my physician's input, and my own experience. That is all. I'll link to several articles, both pro and con. However, how do you use Epsom salts? You simply mix 2 to 4 cups with water, warm water, and soak for 15 minutes, then shower. The articles say it has a drying effect. Every article I found and my physician all said to shower after. The Live Strong article I found says that soaking longer than 15 minutes can cause your body to reabsorb toxins released by the magnesium. I'm not sure if that's possible, but I thought I would mention it. Here's another reason I like Epsom salt soaks. They're much more pleasant than ice baths. I don't have to tell you that, but just let me say that over the years, I've taken ice baths after long runs and races many, many times. At least half the time. But half the time also, I haven't. And you know what? I've never noticed any difference. So for me, no more ice baths post-run. Really, I just decided I'm done with that. I can't see that it has any advantage. It doesn't feel any different. I can hear you gasping at that statement. an aside on the whole ice bath thing is that in recent years, it is seeming to be disproven. That's a topic for a whole podcast in itself, but you'll notice you don't hear me promoting it, and there is a good reason. I promised to do a whole episode about that, but very briefly, I'll say this. Inflammation is your body's way of responding, your body's way to heal. Why would it be smart to interrupt this? I really am all about allowing my body, in fact, encouraging my body to heal itself. And I don't like to do anything that will inhibit or interrupt the natural response. You'll still find an overwhelming number of online articles promoting it, and most coaches still encouraging it. But it's like so many things. Knowledge is changing due to more recent research, and the people in the forefront are saying, wait a minute, we may be on the wrong track here. I'll link to an article in the April 30th, 2015 issue of Outside Magazine that talks about that. So, for me, I'm sticking with Epsom salt soaks. It feels wonderful, too. Did it help reduce my post-marathon soreness? Like I said, I don't know if I should credit the tart cherry juice entirely or the 1-2 punch of the cherries in the Epsom salt soaks, but I plan to continue to use both. Okay, there you have it. And now today's quote is very special. I was saddened to hear of the death yesterday of Pat Summitt at age 64, a truly legendary basketball coach. She started coaching at the University of Tennessee at age 22, barely older than her players, the start of a 38-year career, including for her female Vols basketball players, 1,098 wins, 22 Final Fours, an unprecedented 31 consecutive appearances in the NCAA tournament, including 8 national championships. What she gave to the women she coached and to the people she inspired through her example and her spirit and the number of lives she changed cannot ever be counted. Consider this fact. Every player who completed their eligibility under her went on to earn a degree. It was about much more than basketball for Pat Summitt. One of my Mojo for Running coaching program members, Beth Kaufman, suggested this Pat Summitt quote. Attitude is a choice. What you think you can do, whether positive or negative, confident or scared, will most likely happen.